As Ruth said, I'm one of your mission partners. I have the privilege of being linked with this church for, I'm not quite sure how many years, about 10 years maybe, something like that. I'm a member of Wycliffe Bible Translators, and I'm seconded working with an organisation called SIL, and I'm involved in supporting Bible translations throughout sub-Saharan Africa. So I support colleagues who are themselves responsible for all the language projects in their countries. So a huge area and a great privilege. The next one. Recently, I was in Kenya. Normally, I work from home in Ipswich, but I do travel every 2 or 3 months to different places in Africa to meet with colleagues. And in April, so just last month, we had a gathering in Kenya of the people from each of the countries in our area who are responsible for all the projects in their countries. So it was the first time that we'd had everyone from the whole of Africa together. We used to operate as two separate areas, French-speaking Africa and English-speaking Africa. But for a year ago, our new executive director decided to bring the two areas back together. So we now operate as one big area. So it was a really good opportunity to get everybody together to learn from each other, to share experience. It had its challenges, as we had to do everything in two languages, both English and French. We reckon about a third of us could use both languages, a third could only do English, and a third could only do French. So there was quite a lot of, there was simultaneous interpretation, but also a lot of sort of just informal translating as people tried to communicate amongst themselves. Just to give you a flavour of the event, so the next slide. So there were 22 nationalities represented there, and between us, we are involved in 491 languages in 19 countries across sub-Saharan Africa. So a huge mix of people and experience and different, very different contexts. So, just to give you a flavour of the event. So there's a lot of interaction, a lot of people working together in table groups. The next one, so I have to wait to get back now. Okay, there we go. A lot of people just, we did have sessions from the front, but also a lot of people working together in different ways. And of course, the next one being in Africa, we also had singing, and on the last day, the person leading the worship said, "We haven't danced. We're, you know, what are we doing? We're African. Why are we not dancing?" So they led us in a song where we involved us all dancing around the room and clapping hands. So that was really good to be in that environment again. I also had the privilege on the Sunday of attending a local Anglican church. I realised I'd never actually been to an Anglican church in Africa before, because in French-speaking Africa, the Anglican church isn't really present. So that was a good opportunity. I went to a church. They had two services in the morning, 9:30 and 11. I went to the 11 o'clock. By 12 o'clock, this huge building was full. And it was, a really lovely experience to be there and to be able to worship with them. That's always a joy when I travel, to be able to go to different churches and join in worship. So the next slide. So this is SAL's vision statement, that we long to see, apologies for the typo. We long to see people flourishing in community using the languages they value most. And the theme of our workshop in Kenya was to be thinking about what is flourishing. What does that mean to say that we want to see people flourishing? That one's gone again. This was an example where we got people in table groups to think about what it means to be flourishing in community. And they wrote different words. There's unity written on there, transformation. There's a picture of people. There's a church on there. There's people worshiping together, joy, peace. Just as we thought about what it actually meant to be flourishing. And the next one. And for our morning scripture time, we took as our verse as our sort of key verse, this one from John 10, verse 10, which I believe you looked at a couple of weeks ago, about having life and having it to the full. And the next slide, like some of you too, you may remember this more in the verse, the wording talking about having abundant life, having life abundantly. And as we looked at that, we also each morning, so the next slide, looked at what it meant both to be, what does flourishing look like, and what does it mean to have abundant life. And we looked at various encounters that Jesus had with people, which led to flourishing. And two of those we had read to us this morning, the woman with the constant bleeding from Mark chapter 5, and Mary Magdalene in the garden after Jesus' resurrection. I'm also going to mention a couple of others that we looked at during the workshop, the Samaritan woman and also blind Bartimaeus. So let's think about the woman with constant bleeding to start with. So when at the beginning of the story, before she actually talks to Jesus and meets Jesus, she's in pain. That's the first thing we know, isn't it? She's been suffering for many, many years. Because of that, she spent all her money. But not only that, she's alone. The nature of her illness meant that she was considered as being impure, untouchable. She wasn't even supposed to be out in the crowd that day. She wasn't supposed to be near anyone in case anyone touched her, and that made her unclean. And so, of course, she also wasn't supposed to touch Jesus, because that could have made him unclean. So that is her situation as she comes to Jesus that day. And the next one. I don't know if any of you've ever thought, why did Jesus make her admit that she was the one who touched him? She'd been healed. Why was he so insistent that she show herself? He didn't just ask her once, did he? She said, he turned round and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples thought he was a bit mad, really, you know, with all those hundreds of people pressing in. Why was he wanting to know who'd touched? But he kept looking round to see who had done it, until finally the woman revealed herself. So what if she hadn't shown herself? What if she'd just slunk away and gone home? I think then the danger would have been that others would have continued to look down on her. They wouldn't have known that she'd been healed. They would have thought that she was still impure. She would still have felt judged and despised by people around her. She probably would have still considered herself impure because that's how others saw her. And maybe she would even have wondered, have I really been healed? Maybe this is just temporary. Maybe it's going to come back again. Just imagine what it would have been like for her. And this is how many minority people in the world feel. They feel despised by those of the majority culture around them, perhaps ashamed of their language, ashamed to speak it in public, ashamed of their identity, that people will look down on them, think they're backward. Many won't have succeeded at school, because when they went to school, they didn't understand what the teachers were saying because it was in a language they didn't understand. And many would not have succeeded. Many won't have managed to pass their exams at the end of primary school, wouldn't have managed to carry on. Of course, there are some who do, in spite of the difficulty. But for many, it's just such a huge barrier to succeed. They may also think that God's not interested in them, because he doesn't speak their language. He's a foreign God. But look at what Jesus says to Mary in verse 34. Next slide. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I don't think he meant just her physical suffering. I think he meant all her suffering. So she went from suffering physically and mentally. She went from being ashamed to being healed physically, but perhaps more important, to having her shame taken away. And the next slide. What about us? What about me? What about you? Do we sometimes still feel ashamed? Are there things in our past that we're ashamed of? Are we afraid of what others might think if they knew what we're really like? Do we sometimes feel we aren't truly worthy of the abundant life that Jesus offers? And do we even wonder, could Jesus really have forgiven me for everything I've done? Are there not some things that he couldn't have forgiven me for? Do we have those feelings? I pray that if we do, that we would know, we would hear Jesus saying, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Our faith has healed us. And the next one. Let's look now at Mary Magdalene in the garden. Of course, we've just celebrated Easter. We've just been remembering about when Jesus rose from the dead. And in John, we see Mary is here. The disciples have gone to the tomb. She's stayed behind. She's feeling upset. She's feeling confused. What's going on? And she's desperate to find Jesus. She meets the person she thinks is the gardener. She asks him, where have you taken him? I need to find him. And the next slide. And what is Jesus' response to her? I think it's really significant that he called her by name. And as soon as he says her name, she knows who he is. And that reminded me of the passage, again, in John 10 that you looked at a few weeks ago, where there we talk about how it talks about how the sheep recognize their shepherd's voice and they follow him. And Mary heard her shepherd's voice. She knew it was Jesus. And he gave her a new purpose too. He told her to go to tell the disciples. She went from being confused to having that new purpose. And she acknowledged Jesus as her Lord. In the version we just heard, she calls him Rabbi, teacher. In other versions, they translate that as Lord. And later on, when she goes to the disciples, she says, I have seen the Lord. She knows he is her Lord. And many people today haven't had the opportunity to hear God calling their name, either because they don't know any Christians, they've not heard about Jesus, maybe they don't have scripture in a language that they understand, or maybe it's just not being presented to them in a way that speaks to them, in a way that relates to who they are in their culture. And maybe they're lost. That may be amongst the minority groups that I work with in Africa, that may be here in Cambridge. Lost, unsure of what is happening around them. I think we're all very aware of the huge changes that are happening around us. Just only have to think of things like artificial intelligence, but also the situation in the world today. Things are changing. It's easy to feel confused and lost. But Jesus came to change that and to give us that fulfilling life so that we can flourish. And the next slide. So here, this encounter with Jesus led to Mary being able to flourish. She went from grieving and being confused to a relationship with her living Lord, Jesus, who had risen again. She'd had a relationship with Jesus before, of course, but now her relationship was with the risen Saviour. And she had this new purpose to go and to tell others about Jesus. The next one. And what about us? Have we heard Jesus call our name? Or do we just think he's speaking to other people? Do we recognize his voice? Do we know that he is our shepherd amongst all the other voices that are clamoring for our attention in this world? Do we hear Jesus? And are we fulfilling the purpose that he has for us? He has a purpose for each one of us. To lead fulfilled lives, to flourish, and as part of that flourishing, to be telling others about him. in whatever situation he's put us in. And are we really treating him as our Lord and our Saviour? The next one. I also want to just touch briefly on two other encounters, some of them will be familiar to you. The Samaritan woman in John 4, as you may remember, she came to see Jesus. She came to the well. Jesus was just sitting there. She came in the middle of the day, which was not the normal time to go and get your water. It's hot. People went first thing in the morning and then in the evening. And it wasn't just a time to collect water. It was a time to have a chat, to talk to friends and neighbours. But she came in the middle of the day because she was ashamed. She was hiding away from other people. She knew that people were judging her for her life, her lifestyle, for the many husbands that she'd had and the fact that she was now. He talked to her. That was amazing in itself. A Jew talking to a Samaritan, a man talking to a woman. And he didn't judge her. He knew all about her, but he was willing to talk to her, to engage with her. And he accepted her as she was. So she went from being ashamed, from hiding away, to feeling accepted. And then that allowed her, gave her the courage to tell others about Jesus. At the end of the story, we see her rushing off to tell her neighbors, to bring them to see Jesus. This was a woman who didn't dare go out at the same time as other people. She's now rushing to her neighbors and saying, "Come and meet this man who knows everything about me." Her life changed from barren to flourishing. And then the final encounter I want us to think about is blind Bartimaeus from Mark chapter 5. Bartimaeus was blind, as his name suggests, and because he was blind, he had no way of earning a living, so he was begging. He was, I imagine, fairly hopeless. What hope did he have in his life when he was blind? And in that culture as well, he may well have suffered from the stigma of people thinking he was blind because of something he'd done or something his parents had done. We see that in another encounter that Jesus has with a blind man. So he would also probably have been looked down on by people around him. He may have asked himself, "What did I do to deserve this? What sin have I committed?" So again, Jesus heals him physically, just like the woman with the bleeding. He can see. That's amazing enough, isn't it? But again, perhaps even more, Jesus restores his identity as a child of God, beloved, someone who is no longer cursed, but who is able to live a full life. So we see all these people go from having unfulfilled, barren lives to flourishing, having met Jesus. Okay, have the next slide. And as going back to the SAL's vision, as we thought about these different encounters that Jesus had and what it therefore means for people today to be flourishing in community, we thought about some of these aspects. It's people who have a personal relationship with the living Lord, the risen Lord. It's having a restored identity in Christ. It's feeling accepted, primarily by God, but then that's meaning that our shame is taken away. Shame before God, but shame before other people too. It's also about telling others about Jesus. And what does that mean for communities in sub-Saharan Africa? The next slide. We thought about the fact that we see Jesus, we see people encountering Jesus through the scriptures. People who have not been able to hear about Jesus, to really understand what Jesus is saying because they haven't had a Bible in their own language, are now able to encounter him through the scriptures. We also had a colleague from Rwanda who came to talk to us about what's known as trauma healing groups. She, as herself, as someone who grew up in Rwanda, she of course experienced the genocide and had a lot of trauma in her own life and experienced the healing power of Scripture to heal that trauma and she is now passionate about helping people throughout Africa and throughout the world to have the opportunity to, through verses from scripture, through being part of groups looking at the scripture in their own language, of being able to have that trauma healed. And this is something that's happening in many, many different countries. As you may be aware, many countries in sub-Saharan Africa have had traumatic experiences through war. There are still many countries where my colleagues work where there is still war. I heard, I think it was yesterday, of a recent attack in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, where people were killed by terrorists. And a couple of weeks ago, my colleagues in Mali were again shocked by many of the attacks that happened in Mali from the Islamic insurgents attacking people. So many people are living with trauma. But we know that through the Holy Spirit and through God's word, that trauma can be dealt with. And there are groups happening all over the continent with adults, but also with children who've suffered different sorts of trauma. We also see that people have their identity restored just by knowing that their language is valued. As many times I've had people say to me, now we've got our languages written down, now we've got a dictionary, we know that our language is a real language. It's a real language, just like English or French. It's not just a dialect that's not important. And as many of you will know, language and culture are inextricably linked. As people feel their language is valued, they also feel their culture is valued and they are valued as individuals. There are many people too learning to read. People who have failed at school, didn't manage to learn to read well, didn't succeed in the official language, who've now been able to learn to read in their own language, and then often being able to then learn to read in the official language. And they realise they're not stupid after all. But they are able to do things and they can succeed. And there are many people too telling others about Jesus. One of the ways that many people are being brought to hear about Jesus is being invited to come to what are known as listening groups, where translated scripture that has been recorded is played. People listen to it and discuss it and are able to hear about Jesus in their own language. So many ways that we see, as we reflected on our work, we saw how people are flourishing through God's work. And just a couple of examples of the pictures. So this is the picture on the left is a trauma healing group. So the man there is leading a group as they look at scriptures and pray and ask God to speak to them. Another picture of a man, his excitement at receiving the Bible in his own language. And the next one. The top one is an adult literacy class where people are learning to read and write in their own language. And then the bottom picture, the excitement of some children who have books that they can read in a language that they understand well. And the next one. And what about us? Let's come back to us again. Are we following Jesus day by day as our living Lord? And do we see ourselves as forgiven people, beloved children of God, created in his image? Yes, with all our flaws and the mistakes we make. But do we really believe we've been created in his image? Are we able to lift up our heads, to come out of the shadows, and not to be afraid of what others say about us, confident in our identity as children of God? And are we obeying his command to tell others about Jesus? Whether that's here in Cambridge, elsewhere in the UK, in Europe, in the world. Are we obeying his command to tell others about Jesus and to help them grow as disciples. And the last one. So thank you. Thank you all for your participation in helping people flourish in Africa. Many of you won't ever go there, but through your support of me and the people that I support, you're playing your part in helping people throughout Africa flourish as they have their, as they see Jesus and as they have their identities restored. Amen.